You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, looking at verses 10 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. We're continuing our series, Managing Our Mess, the Biblical View of Stewardship. We're looking at 1 Peter today, particularly the stewardship of our talents. When I was younger, and I remember being asked to, people would go out of town, they would ask me to house sit for them. And in that process, they would usually have you feed the dog, water things, water the animals, while water the plants, keep lights on, make sure no criminals came in and broke in, which I always thought was a strange thing that I had to get volunteered for. So if burglars do come in, what if that's what you want me there for? That? I don't understand how this works, but I guess it was to deter them from showing up in the first place, because obviously this would terrify anybody. But the truth of the matter is, so they would do this, and you would have to take care of all the things, and they want you to be a steward for what they had. And so, but can you imagine if when they had come back, instead of taking care of the animals, they found emaciated, starving dogs lying on the floor, whining and crying for food. All of their plants were dead, and they see me on the couch just with Cheetos, watching Netflix, right? That's not a very good steward. I probably wouldn't get paid, and I would certainly never get asked to do it again. You want to be a good steward in those circumstances. God has given us talents. God has given us spiritual gifts that He wants us to use for His kingdom and for His glory. If we're not careful, Jesus is going to come back one day and we'll be, metaphorically speaking, wiping the Cheetos off of our face and watching TV. And we don't want to be in that position. But as we look at stewardship, we realize that God is the source of all blessing, temporal and spiritual, all that we have, all that we are, we owe to Him. And we're to serve Him with our time, our talents, and our treasures. And specifically today, stewardship of talents means discovering your spiritual gifts and actively serving with them. So let's read our passage and we'll get into our text for today. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 10 through 11. If you don't have a Bible, we have some provided for you in the chair in front of you. So use those if you need. Verse 10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one speaks, the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves with the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen." So let's pray. Lord, I thank You for today. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You for the opportunities that You've given us to serve. Lord, I pray that You'd help us be faithful. I pray that You'd help us to understand the ways in which we can do that. So speak to our hearts, enliven our minds and our spirits, so that we can hear from You today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we have a stewardship of talents. The church has been hindered by a concept of professional clergy and laymen. It's happened for centuries now. You have people, they say, God has called certain people to do this work, and then there's the rest of us. But I hope you understand, brothers and sisters, that I don't see this responsibility I have at this church or anywhere else as a career. I see it as a calling for my life. And so God has called me to be a pastor and serve in this capacity. And so you have a calling in your life too. And God wants to use you and wherever you're at for His purposes. But this idea of a professional pastor Christians is really not a biblical concept. So the problem comes with that is the clergy, layman, retailer, consumer mentality is prevalent in our culture. But Revelation says that we are a kingdom of priests and that God wants to use everybody for His purposes, for His glory. There's not super special dedicated pastors and then there's everybody else. That's not what God's Word says at all. It says that we are a kingdom of priests to serve in wherever we're at for God's glory. This church, all churches, we exist for mission. To build up the saints and to pierce the darkness. Now this scares a lot of Christians. Because mission involves movement. It involves effort and serving God. And so they like the idea of coming here and receiving and taking and then never doing anything with it. But the biblical concept of Christianity is that we live every day as if we are on mission. That we have a mission from God. Amen. To pierce the darkness and to build up the saints. We are too easily satisfied in our churches with conventional success. Bodies, bucks, and buildings. And so all those things are good things. I would like more bodies. I'm not sure what's happened in the middle body of this church today, but they're on vacation somewhere, all right? I like that. I'm all about bodies because I want bodies that represent souls, and I want to be ministering to souls. But bodies, bucks, and buildings don't necessarily mean anything. All sorts of secular people have more bodies working for them, more money, and bigger buildings than we'll ever have. And a lot of churches, if not careful, they'll simulate the power of God, but never have the power of God. Many churches are too little like training centers and too much like cardiopulmonary wards at the local hospital, just manufacturing breath when we need the Holy Spirit of God to work in this church. Friends, this church does not exist for itself. The church of God does not exist for itself, that we are a royal priesthood. And yes, that we serve each other with our gifts, but we are to serve above all Christ for His glory and then the lost world that desperately needs to know the truth of the gospel. This church does not exist for itself. So let's look specifically at our text for today. Point number one is all believers have a part to play in God's kingdom. We see this in verse 10. All believers, without exception, have a part to play in God's kingdom. Look at verse 10. As each have received a gift, use it to serve one another. So the idea, the word gift here in the original language means charisma, where we get the English word charismatic, refers to special spiritual abilities given by the Spirit for God. Now, when Baptists hear about spiritual gifts, they get a little squirmy. I can already see you look a little squirmy. And we're afraid that means spiritual gifts means doing weird stuff. And historically, a lot of Baptists didn't teach about the Holy Spirit because they were afraid that we were going to have to do weird stuff. And I'm telling you, friends, people getting on the ground and barking like dogs and convulsing, that's not from the Spirit of God. That's not from the Holy Spirit. I don't know where that's from, but it's not from God, okay? The Bible says very clearly how the Holy Spirit works and how He doesn't work. Spiritual gifts are also known as in Scripture as a grace, as a measure of faith, as a manifestation of the Spirit. And so at the moment of salvation, you join the body of Christ and receive a gift or gifts from the Holy Spirit. A spiritual gift is different than a natural talent. So singing, creativity, working with your hands, nowhere in the Bible does that say that those are spiritual gifts. Now those are obviously a talent. They are from the Lord. And your own personal talent can work in conjunction with spiritual gifts. A person who is good with their hands and has a heart for service can do all sorts of things for God's kingdom. A person who God wants to exhort people, to teach people, can use that with their singing and their abilities, but they are not the same thing. And I hope everybody's listening here. All believers have at least one spiritual gift. Do you know that, brother and sister? Every one of you have a spiritual gift from God. That's what this text says here. As each has received a gift. It doesn't say, man, if you get mature, you get growing in the faith, the Holy Spirit's working in you, and then you get some spiritual gifts. No, no, no. It says the second that you become a Christian, the second you've been redeemed, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and He brings gifts and abilities for you to serve Himself and serve the body of Christ with. Now, next week, we're going to be talking about discovering what some of those specific spiritual gifts are. So if you're saying, hey, I don't know what those are. I don't know how to use them. We're going to be talking a little bit about that next week. Spiritual gifts are not to be confused with the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that in Galatians a little bit, right? Galatians talks about attitudes of the heart and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? Those things are the fruit of the Spirit, and gifts of the Spirit are not the same thing. Both are good. Both are things that we want. If you're a believer, at least you are guaranteed to have spiritual gifts. You see, these gifts are a supernatural enablement so that supernatural results are produced. Supernatural enablement so that supernatural results are produced. They're like superpowers. I don't know if anybody's listening, so I got some things. I'm going to help us out tonight, okay? So things you could not do before, you can do with God's help. Okay, here. If you can see on this side over here, you're cheating a little bit. Okay. Now, we've all done some projects, right? And if this is a screwdriver, if you can't see it well enough. But you get to working on some things here and there. And sometimes either it's just way too much, or you'll get to try to work in and getting something in like it's supposed to, or you can't get a screw out quite the way that you have to. And so then you got to bring in the big guns, right? So then I got my DeWalt thing here. And so, boy, you bring that in, and man, you can boom, boom, boom. And this is all theoretical if I knew how to work stuff. But you can get screws in, you get them out faster, you can get stuff in you couldn't do by itself, right? It is an enablement to do what you could not otherwise do. The Holy Spirit has given you gifts for you to do what you otherwise could not do. So you say, oh man, God wants me to do this. I can't do that. That's right. You can't do it. And that's why God has given you supernatural gifts through His Spirit so that you can do it. That's what He's given. And you say, oh man, there's Christians that I've talked to that, man, I've heard this testimony over and over again. You've heard this story. They said, man, if I knew where I was at now 10 years ago, if I knew I was going to be doing this, I would have told you you're crazy. Has anybody ever heard that or experienced that before? Right, they said, man, I would have never done that. That's because God is doing something in your life that you thought impossible. Because it was impossible with you. But with God, it is not impossible. Particularly because the Holy Spirit has gifts He wants to use and work through you. The principle, and I want to make sure we get this. You have a part to play in God's kingdom. And God has given you the ability and the capability for that. Are you with me, church? That you have a part to play in God's kingdom. It doesn't matter if you haven't been in church your whole life. It doesn't matter if you have a checkered past. It doesn't matter if you're not very successful in this world's eyes. You don't have to be a successful businessman to be an important person in this church. You understand? Yeah. That doesn't mean anything to God. God says, I have given you supernatural abilities and you have a part to play. Well, John, I've only been a Christian for a couple months or a couple years. You have a part to play because the Holy Spirit is working in you. We have no excuses. Well, my past is rough. That's okay. God forgives completely and He's given you gifts. Use them humbly, but use those gifts for His glory and for the church's edification. So point number one is all believers have a part to play in God's kingdom. You have a part to play in this church. You have a part to play in your workplace. You have a part to play in God's kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that encouraging to know that God wants to use us and hasn't just said, hey man, good luck, but he has given us the gifts and the abilities to do it. All believers have a part to play in God's kingdom. Point number two, all spiritual gifts are to serve one another. Verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. So all spiritual gifts are to serve one another. You see, gifts are for the common good of the body of Christ as an expression of love. And so the Apostle Paul defines the common good by such things as edification, which means building up the body of Christ, exhortation, compelling people with truth, consolation, and instruction for the purpose of maturing people into Christ Jesus. Every one of us, that's what all the goals, they're varied, they have different approaches, they're going to work in different ways with different people, but they're all for the same purpose of building people to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And everybody, without exception, could use a little more Jesus in their life, right? Every last one of us need to be a little bit more like Jesus. And maybe you're further along in that journey than somebody else, but you're still not Jesus. And maybe you're not very far along that journey at all, and you got a long ways to go. Well, good. You're in good company. We are all striving to be like Jesus. Everything okay over here? The Apostle Peter classifies the gifts into two basic categories. Like, we're going to look at this more specifically here next week. But he gives these in two specific categories. He says, speaking and serving. So speaking, the first category he gives, would fit into spiritual gifts such as teaching and exhortation, which is what I'm trying to do here today. Serving would be showing mercy, helping others, administration, giving. And so if you were shaking hands outside of the church before the service, if you're in the nursery right now wiping a nose, then you are using the spiritual gift of service. And then he uses the word steward, which means a manager or a servant of a household. I said, these gifts are not ours. They're from the Holy Spirit. And so we are to take care of them. We are to use them because we have an obligation by God for His glory and for His purposes to do so. But serving others is a good stewardship of the gifts you've been given. Here's the principle I want us to get here. See, spiritual gifts are for serving others and not for ourselves. Spiritual gifts are for serving others and not for ourselves. Spiritual gifts are for serving others and not ourselves. Amen. And a lot of times, spiritual gifts, if we're not careful, can become all about ourselves. And it's like a complete opposite of what the Spirit wants to do in your life. The Spirit wants you to serve other people with them. And so if you have these gifts and you're not using them, then you're not being a good steward of the gifts that God has given. Or you're using your gift for your own self-glorification, your self-promotion, your own agenda, then you're not using your gifts the way that God wants you to use these gifts. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried using these things, but you've ever seen the claw machines that are in Walmart and all these other devilish places. It's machines like they've got these little cute stuffed animals, right? They're not. Y'all seen them? And or so maybe even some serious ones have like an iPad or something in there, you know. And my kids don't understand that these things are completely rigged and that they have no option of ever winning them. And so, oh, daddy, please. And so you look like a monster when you don't want to do it. But if you ever have used it right, you just see them go down, and what do? They look like they're grabbing, but they never do. And no person in human history, not one single time, has ever won from a claw machine. I think I can say that definitively. Now, Peter Piper Pizza, they've got some ones that you can actually win in. So I like their, but they're a special type of machine. But that's neither here nor there. But the point is they take and they don't ever give. They take and they take and they take and they take and they never give. And there's a lot of people in churches. But they take and they take and they take, but they never give. They take the preaching. Some people will take the food. They'll take the encouragement. They'll take all of these things, and they'll never give anything back. Then you are like a spiritual claw machine, and you're not being a good steward of the gifts that God has given you. All spiritual gifts are to serve one another. And lastly, we see in the latter part of verse 11, it says this. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All spiritual gifts are to be used for the purpose of bringing Jesus Christ glory. Peter reminds us that no matter what is done, the ultimate purpose is God's glory and rule through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God's glory, as we would, as best we can describe it, is the sum effect of all His attributes, His grace, His truth, His goodness, His mercy, His justice, His knowledge, His power, His eternality. All that He is, we want on display in the person of Jesus Christ and through us for God's glory. We want all of God's goodness, all of His characteristics, all of His attributes. We want them on display. We want Him to be receiving glory for His glory. See, God's glory is intrinsic. God's glory is a part of who He is. God's glory cannot be taken away. God's glory cannot be added to or subtracted to. God is as glorious as He's always going to be. But man's glory can change. Man's glory is not intrinsic. A king can be a king for a day with a beautiful crown and a robe, and that same king and the very same day can be thrown into a gutter with his crown and his robe stripped from him, and he becomes a normal man just like anybody else. You see, man's glory comes and goes, but God's glory is eternal. It is unshakable. It is intrinsic to who He is. And God, in seeking His glory, seeks the good of His creature. You see, God is our good. You see, now if I wanted my glory, it might work out well for me. And I said, hey, if I did things, and I said, let's make John Russo look good. That might make me look good. But I'm telling you, that doesn't help anybody else out. But when God, when He seeks His glory, when He wants to be glorified in your life, it is for your good. It's not selfish for God to say, hey, I want to be glorified in your life. No, God knows your greatest good, the greatest happiness and joy and fulfillment you'll find is in bringing Him glory. They are united. God's glory and your happiness and joy are the same thing. And so when God says, I want to be glorified in your life, He's saying, I want you to have the most fulfilled and satisfied life that you could possibly have. The principle here is simple. Good stewardship leads to God's glory. Good stewardship leads to God's glory. If we want God glorified in our life and in this church, then we've got to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given. Now, I don't know, maybe you guys aren't as weak as I am, but when I'll go to the mall on the rarest of occasions that I can make it work out, and when you're going through the mall, you have these people with these little samples, right? And man, talk about it. The claw machines are devilish. Man, these things are even worse, right? And so you'd be walking by this store. I had no intention of going in that store. I had no desire. And then all of a sudden, man, they give you this little taste that they shove in your face. And then I got 12 pounds of Cinnabon in my hand. I don't know how it happened. I just all of a sudden, right? So what's the point? They're not out there for charity. Man, I just hope that your day is a little better. Here's a delicious little nugget of dough and cinnamon. Have a great day. No. They want you to come into the store. They want you to pay money for what they've got. And more often than not, if they get that sample in my hand, they get away with that. So what they're trying to pull people in. They're trying to pull people in to what they think is good. And as believers, our lives are to try to pull and to attract people to Jesus. When we say we want Jesus Christ glorified in our life, that's what we're trying to do. We are trying to pull other people to see all the goodness, all the majesty, all the wonder of our great God. We want God to be on full display in our lives, not for us, not so people can say, oh man, John is great, or you're great. No, because our God is great. We want to pull people into that wonderful glory. And when we're using God's gift, when we're using them for other people, we're being good stewards of that gift, then that's when Jesus Christ is glorified. And people start seeing our great God for who he really is. Don't you want to be a part of that church? That's not a rhetorical question. Don't you want to be a part of that church? Don't you want to be a part of God using you for his glory and for the greatness of his kingdom? Let him be glorified in your families, in your workplace, with your gifts, with your talents, and the big things of life and the small things of life. In that time, when times are really good, I hope Jesus Christ is glorified in your life. And when times are really tough, I want Jesus Christ to be glorified in your life, because above all else, we want him to have preeminence in our life. As it says here in 1 Peter, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, stewardship of talents means discovering your spiritual gifts and actively serving with them. Not just knowing them, not desiring them, but actively serving with them. Regardless of your background, regardless of where you've been at with the Lord and where you think you're going, God wants to use you. And one of the ways he wants to do that is through the gifts that he's graciously given. As we move into the invitation time today, this is from the challenge of God's word that I hope you're listening to. Do you know what your gifts are? Maybe next week can help in that. Maybe do you know the gifts that God's given you? According to this text, everybody has a gift without exception. It's going to be really hard to use your gift if you don't know what it is, right? Now, and next week we're going to talk a little bit about how you can know what it is. So hopefully that can be helpful. Make sure you come back for that. But do you know what your gifts are? Ask God to start leading and guiding you to find the answer to that. You say, hey, Pastor, I do know what the question is. Are you serving with them? Are you serving other people for God's glory and not yourself? Or are you a spiritual consumer? That you come to church, that you take, that you never give. Now, don't get me wrong. There are seasons in our lives when we need to be under God's word. We need to do a lot of listening. We need to hear and be instructed in God's word. But even in those seasons when you need a lot of instruction, you need to be serving. Serving in this church and serving in your spheres of influence. And all the while, we want Jesus Christ to be glorified in our lives. Right? We want Jesus Christ to be glorified in every aspect of who we are and what we're doing, because he's worthy of that. What a beautiful gift that we have to give to this world. And God's plan, God's purpose for the proclamation of that gift is you and me serving and as faithfully as God has required. We want to be good stewards of the gifts that we've been given. And friend, to have any of these gifts, to have the Holy Spirit in you, to be transformed and changed, you have to have Jesus Christ first in your life. There has to be a time in your life when you have turned from your sin, that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you're a Christian, that you've asked for forgiveness from the Lord. And because you've placed your faith in Jesus, because on the cross he was punished for your sins, and instead of you bearing that punishment yourself, that you become a Christian, that you've trusted him, placed your faith in him. And if you've never done that, friend, then you can't have spiritual gifts and you can't serve God. Without exception, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, if you have not trusted Jesus Christ today, Jesus wants you to know him today in a real and personal way. He wants to be your Savior. Don't leave here unsure of where you'll spend eternity. We'll all spend it somewhere. Heaven or hell, depending on what you do with Jesus. So don't leave here, friend, unsure of where you'll spend eternity. If you want to be faithful serving God, then you've got to know him. If you don't know him, then trust Jesus and then serve him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the spiritual gifts that you've given your people. Lord, did you want us to faithfully and lovingly serve you? Not because you need us, but because you recognize that that is where we find our greatest joy and our greatest satisfaction. Lord, you've given so many gifts and so many abilities and so many people in so many places. We have no excuses. So Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to know what our gifts are. Help us to faithfully serve with them in good times and tough times. Lord, I pray for those in this room that may not know you, have never given their life to you, or that they, in this invitation time, would trust you, would ask for your forgiveness, and learn to start walking with you. Lord, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.